Hello, I'm Andrew Clark. I'm the Global Medical Lead for Fostemsavir. I'm going to talk to you about the impact of a low CD4 count on the course of HIV infection. So just to describe the outline, we'll talk about the actual role of CD4 cells, the impact of low CD4 cells on mortality and morbidity, implications of inflammation, and then just a short summary. CD4 T cells are a critical component of the adaptive immune response, and their main function is to identify a diverse array of pathogens, and they communicate with other immune cells with cytokines, and they are defined by the cytokines that they are differentiated by, but also that they produce, and the pathogens that they recognize. So at the bottom are listed the main subtypes of CD4 T cells, but there are others. So first of all, we have Th1 that responds to intracellular pathogens and activate macrophages. Th2 respond to extracellular pathogens and activate neutrophils. Th17 activate eosinophils and respond to large non-phagocytosable pathogens. We also have T follicular helper cells that assist B cells to make antibodies, and then we have a key function of T cells, which is regulating the immune response and also preventing autoimmunity. T cells are one of the main targets for HIV infection, and so the initial response is a catastrophic loss of CD4 T cells. And while these may respond somewhat or recover somewhat without treatment, generally speaking, there's a consistent decrease in CD4 T cells until the appearance of opportunistic infections and malignancies. But the introduction of antiretroviral therapy typically reverses this, and we see a recovery of CD4 T cells to a near normal level over time. However, some of the other immune responses, while they do improve on antiretroviral therapy, they do not normalize completely. So immune activation and inflammation typically do not normalize, even in the setting of prolonged viral suppression. We also see that over time, certainly in the last 20 years, the life expectancy gap between those with infection compared to the general population or those without infection has narrowed substantially. There is still a residual gap of around 10 years or so, but that gap is also dependent on the CD4. So those with a lower CD4 count, less than 350, the gap widens to 15 and so on. We also have seen over time that there's a gap between the comorbidity-free years with those who have infection versus those who don't. This gap is not really narrowed over the last 20 years, and it is also dependent on the CD4 count. So those with a lower CD4 count have an even wider gap between disease-free years. There are many factors that influence the CD4 T cell count, the recovery and the ongoing effect of HIV on CD4 homeostasis. Dividing these up into the different impacts of HIV on CD4, we can look at them in terms of production, trafficking, and then ongoing mechanisms of depletion of CD4 T cells. And you can see from this diagram on the left that there are many, many factors that can impact production, such as infection of stem cells and senescence of stem cells in the bone marrow, but also, very importantly, the amount that the thymus is able to produce, and this declines with age. But there are many, many other host factors, as well as viral factors, which continue to cause poor trafficking of T cells and also poor production of T cells. And then finally, there are multiple factors that continue to increase the amount of depletion of CD4 T cells and ongoing inflammation, which has an impact on the cytokine dysregulation and trafficking of T cells. So all in all, you have several factors which cause ongoing disruption of CD4 T cell recovery despite suppressive antiretroviral therapy. There are additional factors such as a late diagnosis and also age and race and gender that may also impact on an individual's ability to recover their CD4 T cells. We've known since the beginning of the pandemic that CD4 counts are very important in being able to predict opportunistic infections and opportunistic malignancies, so that right from the outset, we knew that a CD4 count below 200 meant that several other infections were more likely, starting off with pneumocystis, pneumonia, and going on to some protozoal and then fungal and viral infections that we typically only see with advanced AIDS. So while we were aware that this low CD4 count could predict some of the opportunistic infections, it also became apparent that it wasn't just the CD4 count, but also the CD8 count. So the ratio of CD4 to CD8 is typically inverted in HIV infection. And this inversion can also help predict non-AIDS events. So the lower the CD4, CD8 ratio, the higher the risk of non-AIDS mortality and morbidity. And once the CD4 count gets below 0.3, that risk goes up substantially. So a recovery of the CD4, CD8 ratio is associated with better outcome once it reaches 4.5 and above. However, many people do not fully recover the CD4, CD8 ratio. We also see that there is the level of CD4 recovery is important in terms of predicting mortality. So a CD4 count of above 350 or even above 500 is usually associated with a far more reduced risk of mortality over a period of, say, 3 to 5 years of suppressive antiretroviral therapy. However, for those whose CD4 count is below 350, and even more for those whose CD4 counts do not recover above 200, we see an increased risk of mortality. And that increased risk is profound for those who have a CD4 count recovery of less than 200, of around about 0.25% per year of risk of death. And if you count that up over 10 years, you have a 25% risk of mortality remaining at a CD4 count below 200. And that's higher than many malignancies. CD4 recovery is also associated with the amount of inflammation that we typically see in people living with HIV. So those with the best recovery on their CD4 count and the best viral control typically have inflammatory biomarkers which are still above the controls, but not entirely normal, but they reduce quite substantially over time. Those whose CD4 counts do not respond above 350 typically have higher levels of these inflammatory biomarkers. So we see elevated levels of interleukin-6, D-dimer, soluble CD14, and also measures of microbial translocation, such as endotoxin you see here. You can see clearly the difference between those who have CD4 poor responders compared to those who have good CD4 recovery compared to the controls without HIV. All of these biomarkers are also associated independently with disease progression and non-AIDS clinical events. We define a low CD4 or immune non-responder in multiple different ways, and there are many definitions to describe immune non-response. However, the more consensual definition for this is a failure to achieve a CD4 count above 350 after at least 2 years of suppressive antiretroviral therapy. And it can also be defined in terms of the rate of recovery. So you see a different definition here for the failure to achieve an increase in CD4 count above 50 cells after 6 months of antiretroviral therapy. So while we typically see a good response on antiretroviral therapy, as you see on the graph on the left, there are about 15 to 20% of people who do not enjoy this recovery, and those are termed the immune non-responders. In summary then, it's important to understand the significance of the CD4 T cell count in the critical response to a variety of pathogens and the impact that HIV has on the ability to recover CD4 and the impact that this has on progression to HIV infection and non-AIDS clinical events. There are significant consequences of a low CD4 count, not just the CD4 count at diagnosis, but also the inability to improve CD4 count above a certain level, And this results in a comorbidity gap, a life expectancy gap. And additionally, we also get additional information about the CD4, CD8 inverted ratio that we typically see. And the lower this is, the higher the risk of non-AIDS defining events. There is also an impact of inflammation in those whose CD4 count does not respond very well. So the lower the CD4 count recovery, the higher the amount of inflammation as measured by a series of different inflammatory biomarkers. And these inflammatory biomarkers independently also predict the risk, morbidity, and mortality. And finally, a low CD4 count at diagnosis will have profound effects on the long-term outcome for people living with HIV. And even with suppressive antiretroviral therapy, we see a poor response to immune recovery in around about 15 to 20% of individuals. And this will lead to a much higher risk of AIDS progression and also non-AIDS clinical events.